everybody. Today are some areas that I've been focusing on, and there's nothing like giving a talk to really focus on something. One is the importance of stillness as we practice, and the other is forms, what they are and why we use them. And I'll talk about both areas. Shikantaza, I'm going to read a quote from Domyo. Shikantaza, just sitting can be challenging. We're asked not to try to control our meditation experience. But are we just supposed to sit there like a sack of potatoes and let habit energy have its way? Domyo presents a simple approach to returning to your intention whenever you have a moment of awareness in your sitting, and making that intention very simple and free from expectation or results. The intention, we simply intend the four S's: to sit upright, be still, silent, and simply be. Sitting Shikantaza is really the only way to be fully present during meditation. I find we set an intention to adhere to the four S's: to sit upright, still, silent, and simply be. Maintaining complete stillness during meditation has always been a challenge for me, or it's often a challenge for me. A sudden chill, a hot flash, which I get all the time, an itch, an ache in my leg. But I found the four S's help me settle into it. And also with the card that Domyo recently reintroduced, Instructions for Zazen, in eight stanzas, which we read at the beginning now, which is very cool. I like that. That reminds you to be still and focused. Maintaining complete stillness during meditation. Oh, I said that. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm nervous and I read my notes, so it's pretty obvious, but excuse that. I watched Ellen's speech as I was preparing, and it was so wonderful. She really inspired me, but she sat there just looking at the screen and talking. I was just so impressed, but I can't do that. So following Bright Way Zen's prescribed forms helps us do that. Sit, Shikantaza, I feel. And perhaps we could consider Shikantaza our most important form. More about forms soon. I'll tell you more about them. But I want to talk about Samatha, stillness. Samatha means tranquility or calm abiding. It's the aspect of Zazen that involves letting go of things like your self-concern and your judgment. Rather than devote any mental activity to pursuing your self-interest, you just sit. Domyo explains it as thinking of the mind as a pond that has muddy water and muddy sediment in it. Sitting very still allows that sediment to settle gradually out of the water. Sitting still for an extended amount of time can let the water become crystal clear. Then you can see everything perfectly clearly. Now, the process of letting it clear can't be rushed. There's nothing active you can do to make it happen. You can't swish the sediment away patiently. You'll only make it worse. You just have to hold still and wait. Waiting is not passive, though. You can't let the mind wander, as that will boil the water as well. And you can't fall asleep, because dreaming is a very active mind state. You need to stay alert so you can witness the clarity when it does occur. As you sit and wait, thoughts and feelings will come and go. You may have a moment when they disappear like a break of the clouds and you'll have a sense of spaciousness. But that's not something you should strive for. It isn't your brain activity you seek to hold still. It's your intention, your will, or your volition. You stay focused on keeping your mental and physical posture pointed to Zazen, staying alert, aware, and open, free from judging, grasping after things, or pushing things away. Whatever happens during meditation, physical sensations, sounds, thoughts, emotions, feelings, whatever plans or regrets occur to you, you keep your intention still, fixed to the very act of meditation. Don't let anything that happens force you to react and give up on your meditation, give up your meditation seat. You need to refuse to stir the water. Samatha also involves letting go of judgment. This is a challenge for most of us. Judgment also disturbs the water in your mind pond, to go back to that metaphor. Also disturbs the water in your mind pond and results in muddy water and less clarity. It can be hard not to indulge your judgment about things, especially when you notice, remember, or realize things in meditation that you don't especially like or that affect you personally. You may not be able to help a judgment from appearing in your mind, but you don't have to believe in its inherent truth. You don't have to embrace it. It's particularly important to avoid indulging judgment in your meditation if you want to move to the Vipassana phase of Zazen. Any judgment or even potential judgment can chase away insight, says Domio. She gives the example in this book, her book, Zen Living, that she wrote quite a number of years ago. I've been here quite a number of years. So let me read her quote from here. Let's say you're trying to gain a deeper understanding of some of your harmful habits. Part of you is seeking clarity and insight and is willing to face the naked truth in order to relieve suffering. Another part knows it has been a little lazy, selfish, or deluded, and plans to hide out as long as it can. That lazy, selfish, or deluded part may feel ashamed, unwilling to give up its habits, or afraid of the harsh judgments your wisdom-seeking part is going to unleash on it. Unless your wisdom-seeking part cultivates non-threatening, non-judgmental stance, it's going to keep chasing away the part that you need to see. In Samatha, you are cultivating unconditional restraint from judgment. I don't want to say that that's the goal because we can't do that, but that's what we're cultivating. So now I'm going to move to forms. Although Brightway Zen is less strict than other Zen traditions, we do follow forms as agreed upon ways of moving about and doing things together in a group. They create a safe, neat container for our Zen Buddhist practice. As Zen Buddhists, we follow the forms with, according to Domio, a certain amount of careful attention and dignity. It's also meant to be done with respect for the objects you handle, the living beings that you encounter, and the community you're in, and of course, the Buddhist tradition. I personally have always appreciated the structure that forms provide, because I could always know what to do and how to do it. I generally feel comfortable with them. Of course, I've been here for, as I said, a long time, 13 years. But when I served as Shuso a number of years ago, part of my responsibility was to maintain the forms in the whole Sangha. I sat up here and kept an eye on things. And whenever I approached someone, this is way before we had online, the hybrid. We were all right here in the dirt Zendo. So whenever I approached someone to correct or instruct them about a form, I knew they might consider me a serene bodhisattva or a bossy tyrant, a pesky irritant, or simply a fixture of their practice environment, like the bell calling us to practice, or the Buddha's altar. In the Shuso role, I developed a growing confidence in the wisdom of Buddhist forms. You know, in many respects, I was modeling the forms as well for newer members. I relish that part of the role, and my relationship to the forms has evolved over time, as yours will as well too. What once felt a bit forced and a little awkward eventually became quite natural. I was actually conforming with other Sangha members and they with me. Through forms, we create something in common and move in harmony together. In order to create anything together, we have to compromise with each other. Each of us giving up some of our independence, our willfulness, personality, not because those things are bad, but because we value and want to support our common endeavor. Our common goal is to share an inclusive environment in which to deeply practice Zen Buddhism. Every time you enter the Zendo using forms, you are saying, "I value being part of this community." When you come to sit with others in Sangha, you are saying, "This community has been a benefit to me, and I want it to continue for my sake and the sake of others." Together, we are doing the Buddha work. But what is form? What are forms? We use the word form to refer collectively to all of the established ways of doing things in and around Zendo. Synonyms might be behavior, procedure, manner, method, practice. Some examples of form at Brightway, Dirt Zendo anyway, are entering the building quietly without letting the door bang behind them so as not to disturb others in the building. Removing your shoes and placing them neatly beside and lined up with any other shoes that are already there. They should not take up too much space, not be, you know, flailed apart and not be where someone could trip over them. In warmer months or cooler months, hanging up your jacket or coat and placing purses, water bottles, and phones in the lockers for safekeeping. This is so we don't bring anything into the Zendo that's not needed for meditation and could cause clutter and distraction. When you enter the Zendo or meditation hall, you make a small standing bow toward the altar, forward toward the altar at the front of the room. On it, there's a Buddha statue, flowers, a candle, and an incense holder. You choose a place where you'd like to sit and do a standing bow toward your seat. Turn toward your right until you're facing the rest of the room and make a standing bow to the Sangha. Sit facing the center of the room if the first activity is going to be chanting like today. Or if the first thing is meditation, you sit facing the nearest wall. During chanting session, you follow the lead of senior Sangha members and hold the chant book in both hands. Like this. Oops, yeah. It's hard to do the whole time, I must say. But I try to do that. Follow the Dolan's prompts and rise, sit, or make full bows as he prompts. The Jikido announces when it's time for Kinhin, a walking meditation. Start standing in front of your mat, follow his or her prompts to turn to your right and take slow, short steps, moving in procession around the room. I was in a back row today and I found, oh, if you're in the back row, you don't turn to your right, you turn to your left. So anyway, also my use of the word Jikido, that's new for me. So I'm assuming is that what you are, Katie?
Yeah, Jikido. Okay.
Jikido, yeah. Person who holds the bell while we process. So forms continue throughout all aspects of practice in the community. During session, we follow Orioki forms for formal meals. This is one of the most challenging forms and requires some training and practice before we truly become adept at it. And at any rate, we essentially follow the lead of the priest at the head of the table or the shuso to see what or a senior member is doing. And those of you who have never done Orioki, you don't know what I'm talking about, but you will someday. It's a formal way of eating. Orioki means just enough. So my affinity for forms. Okay, so why am I so drawn to these forms? It's probably because I have always craved structure. I depend on it in many areas of my life, and without it, I falter, not knowing what to do. I find structure comfortable, and I've finally come to accept that that's okay. For example, I love yoga and have practiced for a lot of years. You simply, well, not simple, but you follow the teacher's example and do the asanas correctly. Perfecting them develops over time as your body allows. Another example is that I've always fancied myself to be creative and artistic. Yet over the years, I've produced only a few pieces of art. These days, I have a studio full of art supplies, but I rarely draw or paint on my own. I seem to need a class to get any artwork done. Why this inertia around art and creativity? I've been kicking that around for a lot of years. Why this enormous block? It seems to be a deep lack of self-confidence and perhaps a fear of the unknown. As my practice deepens and I get closer to samatha and the muddy water clears, the truth of no self and emptiness, perhaps my fear, will dissipate. So I'd like to open it up for discussion now. What are your thoughts on stillness, forms, and sangha or community practice? Bruce? Yeah, please.
Can you explain the difference between zazen and shikantaza? Are they the same thing? I've read Dormio's pamphlet more than once, and I still, it's both about the same thing, isn't it?
They both are just sitting.
Okay, so why do we have two names? Are they different languages? Okay.
I don't have the answer to that one. Maybe somebody else does, but Mark?
I think Shikhan Taz is Dogen's attempt to clarify people's confusion about what Zazen is, right?
Dogen doesn't clarify anything.
Yeah, I think Zazen is just general seated meditation. Right. Shikhan Taz is the specific practice of just sitting with no... So you can do Zazen, but have it be focused Zazen, like you're sitting with a koan. Focus versus unfocused.
I'll buy that.
Yeah. That's my take.
Thank you.
Well, Shikhan Taza, you're focused on your intention or your volition. Yes. Jinbyo.
Thank you, Shokatsu. This is a topic you could spend a very long time on. And forms are very important to me for different reasons. And I think forms at Right Way Zen are particularly difficult because we don't enforce them. Mm-hmm. And that's the good news. So if you feel like you're not doing it right, or no one's going to come up to you and slap your hand. And you don't always have that free of a feeling in other communities. I do have a little tiny anecdote, if I may, about forms. I think they're important, and they're important to me, and they help me remember that there's a way to do things, and it's not my way. It's there's a higher authority telling me how I have to do a certain thing. But as she's so now, I'm in conversation with Domio a lot. And I have said to her, you know, Domio, the conversation goes like this. Jinryu, Domio, there's a lot of confusion on Sunday morning, especially when we're through bowing. Nobody knows when to bow, all those different bells. Nobody knows what they're doing. Domio, I have to give a talk. I have to give a class on forms. It's just so necessary. I've just got to do that. Jinryu, I would be delighted to help you with that. Just let me know. And the conversation ends. So as long as I've been there, which is not as long as you, Shokatsu, but still, and as much as I love forms, clearly there's a higher authority who thinks I could use some improvement on my own use of forms. So I don't want anybody feeling bad as if they don't remember it, can't get it right or whatever. I'm always getting things wrong, and I'm learning new ways of doing things from Domio all the time. It's just enriching to my practice. That's all. Yeah.
Thank you, Jinryu. I find that as well. It really, you get closer to them as you continue to use them. And I did tell Domio that that's what I was going to talk about, forms, so she knows. But I said, I know I can't teach forms like you would, but I just want to talk to my connection to forms and what they mean to me. Leah.
Hi. I feel strongly on this topic of forms because my goal, and I know you're not supposed to have goals, but anyway, I envision what's not happening, but what I would love to have happen is go into the Zendo and just inherently kind of know out of habit all the bows and exactly how to sit and exactly which direction to go and kinhin and never hesitate. I did manage to go to the chanting once early enough in the morning, and I was completely lost. And I'm thinking, well, someday I'm going to be going in there and I'll know all the things and it'll be great. And so that's how I kind of feel like forms are this goal, like this vaguely unattainable but I would really like to be able to do someday, because in that space, I can also envision, then I won't have the worrying about, am I doing everything right? Will just dissipate and it won't be a big distraction. And I can focus on what's important, which is the practice. Like, and I know it's part of the practice to be doing the forms, but I mean, I would love the anxiety about them to be like way tamped down because I know them. So that's how I feel about
forms. Well, that just takes time. Thank you, Leah.
Yeah.
We've talked a bit about it, you and I.
So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just takes time and practice and observing around you. Look at senior people and presumably they're doing them right. I always look to Jim. He's my guide. He's very good at the forms. Brian.
Thank you. This has been a lovely discussion. And now I may ruin it with an analogy so ridiculous that no one will. But I actually have been giving compliance a little bit of thought of late. And the illustration I have, and this is where we get into ridiculousness, is of a building inspector who goes out to a job site and finds that the builder doesn't have a piece of paper that the builder should and must have. So a compliance-oriented inspector goes out and says, oh, you don't have this piece of paper. Everything stops. Go get it. Call me when you've got it. And we'll make a date. I'll come out. And so the builder goes out and, you know, gets the form and calls him up. And but the job has stopped for 2 weeks for the builder to work his way through this or her way through this. Alternatively, the inspector comes out and says, gosh, you don't have this piece of paper. I'll be back in 3 days. If you don't have it, then we're shutting this down. So one is this compliance mindset, the first one, focused on. And the other is more of a production-oriented focus. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there is something, if we, get away from the circumstances, there is a difference between these two things. And there are times when the form is important and someone's not doing it right. Is the person being assisted to do it better, but to keep going? Keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop yourself. Don't do that. Just keep going, but try to get the piece of paper. So anyway.
Thank you. I'm assuming that people want, I don't want to say correction, but maybe instruction on a form at any given time. And I think this, we seniors, my experience is we should just tell them, in a subtle way, not make a big deal of it, but that's my approach. It sounds like Jinryu doesn't necessarily believe that, but we all have different opinions.
I feel the need to jump in and defend myself. It's not that I don't buy into that. But what I learned from my little illustrative conversation with Domio, which by the way has happened 3 or 4 times, is that none of us has it right. We just do our best. There are certain things that we know. We walk into the zendo and we bow. it was a long time, in my opinion, and it was a long time before we uniformly practiced bowing at the seat and turning around and bowing to the group. I still don't do that all the time. So if somebody wants to ask me a question about forms, I am happy to help. But I'm not going to be a stickler about it, is what I'm saying. And I don't think Domio is either. And I think that's what makes it hard at Brightway Zen, is because we're kind of left there hanging.
Yeah, I'm certainly not a stickler either, but I just really relish, as I had said in my talk, that I really love bowing to my mat before sitting, and then turning around and bowing to the Sangha, assuming I'm not late and all those things. Sometimes I'm late. It's not too cool, but if I come in just before, to me, it's just a way of welcoming my practice and welcoming everybody else, acknowledging them. Wesley?
Sure. Do I need to come?
Yeah, please sit so that they can see you a little better, or they can see you at all.
Yeah, I was going to stand around. Oh, there we go. Oh. appreciated the talk. I think you bring up some good points, and it kind of got me thinking about my own experience of stillness and form in the, over 2 decades now that I've been sort of practicing Zen on and off. So on the stillness point, I think when it comes to the meditation instruction, that's always been a challenge for me, because any instruction gets me doing. And the more time I spend doing, the less time I'm spending being, just kind of naturally. And so what I found sort of over the years is that, or I've recognized rather, that I'm not doing something, I'm noticing something. I'm noticing that stillness is a condition of consciousness that is permanent, and my thinking creates the illusion of activity and usually suffering along with it. So it's not so much that I'm being still, it's that I am still. And I'm now taking the time to stop and notice that and align with that. Because in reality, I can like pretend to get away from that. And forms support that surrendering of the illusion of activity, because a habit can kind of carry the mind along, and we can bow and we can do the chants. And then I noticed that the chants are fairly universal in all the centers I've been to, with a couple differences in words and a couple differences in habits and routines, but it's largely similar, even the bells and the bowing. And I can see that we don't necessarily follow the forms in the same strict code, but what I notice, what I remember from my first Zen master Tenshin telling me, is forms are an excuse to let go. So once you have it, or at least the bolts of it, and I think I experienced some of this practicing Tai Chi years ago, once you have the form, you start to create opportunities to surrender to it. It becomes so well known that the body and the mind carry on with the form. And you get to just go back to being free. And so I guess that was my comment on your topic. So I think there's a lot there. Appreciate you bringing it up.
Well, I very much appreciate what you just said. That's pretty brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
It is a form of letting go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to think about it. It just becomes natural. And that's what I look for. I'm hoping for people. Thanks.
Zenny has her hand up.
Who?
Zenny.
Oh, Zenny. Hi.
I'm sorry. I always forget to unmute. And what I was going to say just became more complicated because of, was that Dennis who just shared?
Wesley.
I'm sorry. Well, first of all, from the point of view of being in the cloud zendo and not the dirt zendo, I'm a bit envious of all of you being able to receive instruction on the forms, because of course, those of us who sit behind our computers don't, unless I guess there's a class online or we have a resource to go to. But I always, before I sit, I always bow to my seat. That's the only thing that I do, but it's very important to me because it's humbling for one thing. I think learning form and particularly getting instruction and correction as form is in part a lesson in humility. Learning how to sort of give up your sense of self and how you're deserving of recognition for something you do well, and being able to do correction, to correct yourself without feeling embarrassed and all that sort of thing. And I also do Tai Chi. My husband and I both do. And I just learned from my instructor. We've been doing Tai Chi now with the same group of people for about 6 years. I just learned from my instructor that he does not do sitting meditation, Tai Chi actually, which is a series of forms, which is a lot like dance, which I like, is his active form of meditation. And he has done sitting, but he likes this better because he's a person who connects to his body through movement. He's very focused that way. And so I've been doing them both at the same time, and maybe that also works for people who do yoga. But doing meditation before or after Tai Chi, it's just, they all just come together. And it's a very wonderful feeling to have the body and just the stillness at the same time. And one more really quick thing, I'm sorry if I'm going on too long, but Shoketsu, what you mentioned about being an artist, we had a little bit of conversation about this in our breakout room, and I mentioned it briefly, I think it was Tuesday night, that I've had a hard time. I love form too, and structure. I found that out kind of late in life. And I'm trying to get back to doing something I used to love and gave me a sense of so much freedom, and that's just playing some music, singing and playing guitar, and I'm just so stuck. I can't get there. And this is just throwing this up, but it would be interesting to me at some point down the line, if those of us who are in that such situation and other people, we all have creative sides, but to talk about that, why that, because I know other people who have a Buddhist practice who have said the same thing. And why is that? I'd love to hear what other people have to say. That's all.
That's a great idea. That's a really good idea. I could see having a little group for that. We have all kinds of groups, not so active in the summer, but we have a group on grieving, a book group that keeps going. So any common interest group, feel free to start if you want to.
Yeah,
with you started. I love that idea. Thank you, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're right at noon, which is we're at time.
Until 12:15.
Oh, we have till 12:15.
Right.
Okay. Are there any other thoughts or comments or?
Hello, everybody. When I was younger, many years ago, I read a book, Zen in the Art of Archery, and there's a description of ritual prior to practice, prior to the actual action of archery, and how the practice, the ritual forms prior to doing the activity really set the tone. And I found that to be true for me with forms as well. It's like if I, bowing, taking my shoes off in a certain way, it really helps me get into the headspace for hopefully, potentially a better practice. I also wanted to say too, I sit behind Jim when I'm Sangha Connector. I get the bonus of sitting behind Jim. So thanks, Jim, for all the lessons in forms.
Thank you.
No
thanks.
Pressure. And thank you.
That's oh, sure. You're welcome. I feel like so many people must have thoughts about this because we all experience it, especially here in the dirt zone where we come in, remove our shoes, hang up our coats, put our stuff in, hopefully put our stuff in the locker so we don't bring in stuff like this in. I just brought it in here now because I'm talking and I need some water. But normally I wouldn't bring this in. Sound good? Yeah. We're nuts.
Hey. Well, as a pretty newbie here and to the old with the Buddhism concept, I actually wanted to say that I do understand the importance of the forms, and what you're saying makes so much sense to me. At the same time, I think I'm coming, I started to come sometime early July, as very new here. Mm-hmm. And today was the first time that someone corrected me on my form on the walk meditation, and it was the right timing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I would been corrected on my forms on my first time, it would really push me away. So I'm like, and then this conversation is coming up. Yeah, I get it. And it felt, I felt ready to be corrected. Until now, I needed to feel welcome. Even if I'm not close to understanding the forms, although I could see that they exist,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think there is something here about right timing, and you can't always be right about what is the right timing for the individual. So yeah, just a thought.
That's a good thought, thank you. I know Domio is very keen on not scaring people away, basically, not being more than welcoming people when they first come is very important. That's critical. And if they come back week after week after week, then maybe they can be just like your experience was. They could be corrected, but gently, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Katie.
I'm going to be talking about the longing. So, of course, anytime anybody says it around me right now, I'm like, what? What are you saying? So, on Tuesday, I'll be talking about belonging. So that was just an interesting exchange that I heard about how, you don't want to be corrected when you first walk in. It's kind of confusing, though. One of the things that I've, as now that I've been here for a while, I'd love to have someone evaluate my posture. I don't know if anybody else thinks about that at all, but I know that if you're sitting up straight, there's just this feeling when you get into that really straight position. And to me, that's the form question that I have. It's like, I feel like somebody like look at me and say, am I sitting straight? And not every time, obviously, just that kind of a check. Because to me, that's like one of the most important things.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's all.
You're right, it is. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking of my yoga teacher who gives us a broomstick once in a while. So through our arms. And,
yeah.
And it just keeps us right. But I can't quite see how it would fit here unless we have a little offline workshop about it. But you're right, it's a really important part of the form.
I'll just say real quick, I don't know if I'm going to come up here just real quick, but
okay.
Anybody who wants to learn more about forms and really get the crash course, come to a Zazen guide, come to Sesshin. Because those intensive, like you're doing it all day, you're doing it for days in a row, you'll learn them real quick. You'll learn them real, real quick. And you learn them the right way, I think, just by that repetition. So
yeah, you're right. Point very well taken. Sesshin is really helpful for that, as well as sitting still and waiting for the muddy water to clear. At Sishin, you have lots of time. You have the time to sit and wait, which we mostly don't here. When we're just here for, well, an hour or so that we sit. So yeah, Sishin is a way of deepening. It's really good. And you get to do Orioki.
Yeah.
Which is our formal meals. We also have one day, what are they called? One day retreats that Domio has initiated about once a month. And we do Orioki most of the time on those. Am I correct?
I do want to say something about Orioki, but we do not do Orioki on the day of one day retreats from 8 to 4. But if we have a Zazen Kai, we do Orioki 3 times. But again, in the spirit of, you have to sort of zero in on what forms mean to you. And it sounds like they mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. To me, they're a form of surrender. But they're so complex, and we're not always going to get them right. And I can guarantee you, because it happens every single time, that the first day of the session, the first morning meal, breakfast, I will spill something watery, either the wash water or the tea, all over my Orioki plums, and they will be wet at least until lunchtime, if not the rest of the day. So that's how we recognize forms, is we kind of foul them up just a little bit.
Thank you. Anybody else? Oops. My watch talks to me. Well, I think we can end it there. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much. We offer the merit of this Sangha meeting to all so that they may be able to attain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all uttered ones, bodhisattvas, bodhisattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Ajahn,
thanks, Shoketsu.
Thank you. Thank you, Shoketsu. Hey, can I talk?